possibility. At Babby's house, Babby's house, everybody is family. Oh, welcome to Babby's house.
Hello, everyone. This is Babby Mason, and welcome to Babby's House on the radio. Thank you so very much for joining us today. I tell you, I love doing this show because I love meeting the people that God brings across our path to talk with here on Babby's House on the radio. And today's guest is an extremely interesting person. She is an author of a book called God's Sovereignty Over Our Lives. She is an elder and a minister in her church, in the Apostolic Church. She has been preaching for 40 years, and she is not tired yet. Her name is Elder Aloma Stanislaus. Sister Aloma, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Praise the Lord. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed, and I'm happy in the Lord. Well, welcome to the show, and thank you for letting me talk with you today. And I want to jump right in and talk about your book, God's Sovereignty Over Our Lives. Tell us what inspired you to write this book.
Well, the experiences and testings in my life and how God worked for me in this situation inspired me to write.
Well, who is the book for? Who do you suggest is the person who should pick up and read God's Sovereignty Over Our Lives?
Well, this book is very challenging for every age and every person, but I would say it would be more challenging to weak Christians, Christians that are halting between two opinions and don't really come to trust God in that real way. And even saved who are still deciding whether or not they want to be saved or but they don't know how to trust. I think this is really written for them because the word says in Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Now, the word sovereignty, that is a big word. And we hear that word a lot in, you know, Christian circles. We hear that word a lot in church. We hear that word a lot when preachers are preaching. But can you break that down for us? Tell us, what does the word sovereignty mean?
Well, the meaning of sovereignty is supreme in rule or power. Power to govern without external control. The supreme political power in a state. One that is sovereign also. And autonomous state. It is saying, it's here one that governs, one who is in control, one who can turn things around, and this is God. God is able to turn the heart of the king wherever he wants it, and that makes him sovereign. He is the one that said, let there be, and there was, and still is until now, separating the heavens from the earth and the land from the sea. That's sovereignty.
Yes. So God reigns and super reigns in the world over kingdoms, over people, over the earth, over nations. And we as believers therefore have to yield our hearts to his control, to his governance, to his rule. Why is that important? Talk to us about why it is important for us to submit our lives, for us to yield our lives to God's sovereignty.
You see, because God is in control, whether or not we believe him or we want to do or we want to obey him, he will have it done. We can look at the situation with Jonah. He called out Jonah to go to Nineveh. But Jonah did not want to do that because he thought that if he does it and the people repent, God will not punish them. So he did not want to do that. He decided to run from God. But because God is sovereign, God met him in the ship, in the whale's belly, vomited him out on the seashore, and he had to go to Nineveh. God will do what he has to do. God will be who he has to be. What God wants done will have to be done, whether we want to do it or not. So it is important for us to yield ourselves as instrument of unrighteousness to God so that he does not have to put us under all of this pressure to have his will done. Because when he gets ready, he will do what he has to do.
Yes. We see that in Jonah's case, you mentioned Jonah. Jonah was told to go and preach to the people at Nineveh, and he turned and went in the opposite direction, disobeying God's instruction for him. And we see the outcome that disobedience can bring. Jonah had a delay in his journey, ended up spending 3 days in the belly of a big fish. Amen?
Amen.
So what happens on the flip side of that? What happens when we obey God and we align ourselves to his sovereignty? When we say, yes, God, I yield my life to you. Yes, God, I embrace your sovereignty. I recognize that you rule and you super rule. You rule over my life. I give you complete reign over my life. What happens then when we say yes to God and yield our lives to him?
God is able to work with us better. We'll be able to see the power of God manifesting in our lives and around us, in the things that we do. Be our light basically will shine so that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven.
Let's talk about personally how you have seen the sovereignty of God in operation in your life. Can you give us a story, a testimony, a backstory, how the sovereignty of God, since you said yes to God, can you tell us some of the things, or maybe one of the things, that God has done in your life as a result of you saying yes to him?
I can give you a typical story, one of my stories that is in the book. And I have this daughter who was a year and 6 months. She had a fever. And as a trained nurse, I knew what to do. So I was taking care of her, I was doing. But what I find, the temperature was going higher and higher. I began to pray. And I say, ask God to have mercy. Then the word of God came into my spirit. And the Lord said to me, call for the elders of the church. But the week before, we had some a little conflict in the church, and the pastor told a lie that was very blatant, and he said it to the congregation. He said God was directing him in the situation, and after he was cornered by his other people that worked closer to him, he said that it was the story that he heard he was talking over. So he had to go to the church now and tell the church God did not tell him all of this. He heard the story. So when the incident happened, he was just talking on what he heard. But he told us that it was God that was speaking through him. So when I heard that and the word of God came to me saying, call for the elders of the church, I said, no, I can't call him. He's not truth. He's not a true person, so I can't call him. Now, I was young in the faith. I did not understand much of it, but I was looking for somebody that I believe could lead me, and I wanted somebody to lead me right, because I wanted to go into the extreme of my salvation, not to stay on the shore level. So I tell the Lord, no, I am not going to do that. And I started doing my little cold compress and everything, and the fever keep going up. So I called again when I saw the fever went to 102. I called again and I said, oh God, you got to help me. And the Lord said, call for the elders of the church. And I'm still saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't trust him. He's not the person that I, you know, and I went on. The fever went up to 105 degrees. As a nurse, I knew that was deadline. I knew that my child was on her way out. And I started crying out to God, you can't do this to me. You got to help me. You got to help me. And he said, call for the elders of the church. I had no other choice but to call for the elder. And pastor came. I told him how I felt about him. I told him what was happening to the child. He prayed for the child and the fever left. But it did not finish there. After that, the child was not able to walk for 3 weeks. I said to myself, God, you started it, and I'm going to depend on you to finish it. The Lord said to me, you're a medical person, use wisdom. I was saying I wasn't going to go to the doctor, I was just going to believe God. God said to me, you're a medical person, use wisdom. I took the child to the doctor, and the doctor said she cannot treat her until she do a blood test on her. And when I was taking the child to the hospital to do the blood test, I said to God, if I have to wait 1 week on doctor for treatment, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to give it all to you. And I'm going to look for you to work for me. And as I said that to the Lord, the Friday night, I did the blood test the Friday night. We went to prayer meeting, and I was there, and I was praying, and I was saying to the Lord, God, you got to have mercy. I have a cabbage that I cannot eat and I cannot sell, and you're going to have to come through for me, Lord. I'm depending on you. And I just prayed. I poured out to the Lord. And as I was praying, I had a vision of the Lord, and the Lord showed me, now, where I lived in Antigua, and the Lord said to me, take that child down to the beach. The beach that he directed me to was a beach behind the bushes, down in a hollow behind the bushes. And there, that was the place where the Rasta men would go and smoke and cool out there. And when the Lord said to me to take my child down to that beach, I couldn't accept that. I couldn't believe that God would send me into the hands of the enemy to be destroyed. And I said, no, God, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Went back to my rebellion again. Went back to think that I knew it better than God. So I set off with my 3 children down to the beach. And on my way down, there was a gentleman and a lady going down to the beach and some other young people. And I felt a little more comforted having people going down with there at the same time. And so I went, I took my child down to the beach. I dig a hole in the sand, and I put her there and let the water come wash her until the sand was washed off of her. About 5 o'clock, I went back into the house, and the radio was playing, and the announcer said, the time is now 5 o'clock. And the child got up and started walking. I ran outside, God. And I called all the people, come and see what the Lord has done for my child. Come and see what the Lord has done for my child.
The Amen. Saturday,
I just rejoice and I praise God and call everybody to let them know God has worked for me because I surrendered to his will. I obeyed him. I gave it up. I let it go and let God.
Amen. That is a powerful word. I'm talking today with Minister Aloma Stanislaus, and she is the author of a brand new book called God's Sovereignty Over Our Lives. And she is an author, she's an elder in her church, she's a minister of the gospel, and she's been preaching for 40 years. And this is her very first book. I want to say, first of all, congratulations on your book, Elder Stanislaus. Congratulations on writing this book. You are a mighty woman of God. You're a great preacher, and I can tell that the Word of God takes first place in your life. So I want you to tell us how we can get the book.
You can get it online on Amazon. You can also get it from me. My email is alomastanislaus@gmail.com.
Beautiful. Well, I want our listeners to know that today's guest, Aloma Stanislaus, is 70 years of age. She has been preaching for 40 years. She was called to preach when she was a young lady at the age of 30, and now she is 70 years old. So that means she's been preaching for 40 years now. And I tell you, your voice, your passion is so strong, and it is so beautiful to hear you preach the gospel, to quote God's word. And I know several people, many people, when they get to age 55 or 60 or 62 or 63, they look forward to retiring. They look forward to coming home and sitting in front of the television and, you know, drinking sweet tea and just kind of chilling and going into retirement. But the Bible doesn't say very much about retirement, and you definitely have not gone into those retirement years. As a matter of fact, the Bible has a plan. God says that he has a plan for us, and his plan for us has no expiration date on it. So talk to us about why you are so passionate about the Word of God, about the sovereignty of God, even at age 70. And I can tell that you are fired up, you're on fire for God, you love his Word, you're passionate about preaching. Why is that at age 70?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why I'm so fired up, but I believe because of the Spirit of God which dwells within me richly. And I don't, as you said, I haven't seen no expiry date for preaching. As long as I have health, I have strength, I have the Word of God. Now that I do not have to go to do somebody's 8 hours, I have more time to spend in the Word of God. And I am active in church. I am the director of the Sunday school in my class. And I have been just doing a lot of things because I just feel I want to do. My husband has passed away about 5 years ago. I'm just sharing this little story. And this gentleman, who I knew he was a pastor, but he's now telling me he's retiring and he just wants to sit on his veranda and to drink coffee. So he thought that I was a very nice person and I could have been, his wife died, my husband died, so he thought I could be his wife. But then I said to myself, that is not God. That is not God, because I'm so into ministry. I so want to do so much because so many people out there that still do not understand. There are so many people out there that are not getting it right. And we have to tell them. We have to tell them, we that understand and we that know the Word of God, we have to tell them there's still a lot of work to do. The Word of God said harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And if we have not yet educated the young people, the next generation, to fit into our place, it is not time for us to retire. It's not time for us to give up. So I said to him, no, I am not really interested in marrying again because I want to do something for the Lord. I want to do more for the Lord. I don't want to sit down and drink no coffee. And I don't have to. I can drink my coffee and still do what I have to do for Jesus. It doesn't take anything to drink coffee. But it takes that desire. We must have that desire for the kingdom of God. We must have that desire to make people know that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. We must make people know that Jesus' promises are yea and amen. He said he's going to return. He's coming for a prepared people. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Therefore, we cannot just give up, sit back, and think that it's all over. It cannot be over until we are over. And as long as we still have life, we still have strength, if we do not have anything to do openly, we can pray. We can pray. We need prayer warriors. We need people that will hold up the altar of the church. All the things that are going on in our world, we need people. And if we're going to retire on God, who is going to take up the mantle? Who is going to go forward? Who is going to train up the next generation to do the work of God? I had the privilege to go to Liberia earlier this year, and I was the first speaker in the conference, and I was talking about intercession. And I said this word, we cannot be true intercessors if we cannot forgive. And the whole church locked down on me. I was wondering, did I say something wrong? I asked the congregation, did I say something wrong? Why everybody has just locked down now? And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, stay right there. This is the word. This is the word for this people. And I said to them, okay, I see that this is a problem for you. So I'm going to stay here and provoke you unto love unto good works. And so as I continued, I said to them, this is a prayer that Jesus himself told us to say, forgive us as we forgive others. And they weren't responding or anything. I said, but this is a prayer you say to God. When you pray, I never knew that this was a prayer that they use in their Sunday morning service, because I've never been in a Sunday morning service with them. But when I went to the Sunday morning, I realized this was a prayer they prayed to. So I said, this is a prayer that you pray in your Sunday morning service. And you are saying to God, forgive me of my sins as I forgive those people that sin against me. So why is it so hard for you to forgive? You are literally saying to God, over my dead body, I will not forgive those people. And you're saying, over my dead body, God, don't forgive me. And after I said that, it was an open eye for the people. They started really humbling themselves and, you know, start receiving the word again. The evening when we went back to church, everybody came with a testimony. This lady said she was able to call her brother, and her brother said he was sitting hoping and praying that he and his sister would talk again. They were able to make it right because I did not retire. I think there is still work to do.
Well, Minister Aloma Stanislaus, you are a powerful woman of God, and your passion is contagious, and the Spirit of God looks really good on you. And I just appreciate your love for the Word of God, because it is the Word of God that makes all the difference in our lives. And it's the Word of God that will help us to navigate the times in which we're living. I want you to encourage somebody who is listening today. Somebody is discouraged. Someone needs direction from the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone's heart needs to be uplifted today. So before we close our show, will you just encourage that one who is listening and encourage them to trust Christ as their Savior?
Praise the Lord. You might be listening on this radio station, and you might be going through struggles of discouragement, unforgiveness, bitterness, pains, hurts, of all sorts. We all go through them. But I am here to tell you, I have proven, I have tried God, I have trusted Him, and I have proven Him to be that very present help in the time of trouble. And today, I am not a specialty for God. I'm just like you. God loves you like He loves me. And all you need to do today is just to have that faith in God. Believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Take the time out. I took some time out, and I made my calling and my election sure. I said, and look, when I come to the place where I start doubting, I say like the man in the Bible, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Sometimes we struggle to believe some things. Sometimes we struggle to believe that God is able. But you can even say like that man in the Bible, when God asked him if he believed that he's able to heal his son, and he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Today you can say these words to God. Just come to Him. You don't have to find a particular type of word and style of word to say to God. I'm so glad that He understands us in what manner, in whatever kind of way that we can present ourselves to Him. And He said, come to Him. Come to Him. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter how your condition is. As long as you see yourself as a sinner, as long as you see yourself self-helpless, as long as you see yourself in need of direction and help, and you want God, for He is our only source of help. Let me tell you, people will help you to this level, but God will carry you through. God will take you right through and hold your hand during the time of your walk and your struggle. He said He will give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Because so many times we hear people saying, when I fix this, you can't fix anything. Go as you are to the Lord. Ask Him to come into your heart. Help you to keep His word in your heart, and so that you can follow His direction and do what He has called you to do. Ask God to help you today. You just talk to Him in your own fashion, not in my style, because I'm a different style to you. Do it in your style, in your personality. God is depending on your personality to contact Him this minute and get the answer to your problem.
Thank you, Minister Aloma Stanislaus, for being our very special guest here today on Babby's House. Again, our guest today is Aloma Stanislaus. She is the author of God's Sovereignty Over Our Lives. As you can tell, she is a fired up, turned on, spirit-filled preacher of the gospel and has been preaching for 40 years. She is 70 years, and you would never even guess that you're 70 years of age. I love your passion. It is so contagious. Thank you so very much for being our very special guest today, all right?
Thank you for having me.
Amen. We just so blessed to have you minister to us. Not only was this an interview, this really was having church right here on Babby's House on the radio. Before I end our conversation, Minister Aloma Stanislaus, I need to know, where are you from originally with that beautiful accent?
I am from the Caribbean in Antigua, St. John's, Antigua. It is one of the largest island in the Leeward Island. It's 108 square miles, and we have 365 beaches with white and pink sand.
Oh, amen. Well, I'm looking forward to going there. Praise God. I love the beach. And I'm just so happy to talk with you today. The Lord bless you. And thank you for letting us talk with you here today on Babby's House on the radio. Well, my dear friend, I hope and pray that you've enjoyed my conversation with Aloma Stanislaus today, the author of God's Sovereignty Over Our Lives. I want to leave you with a very encouraging song that I hope and pray will encourage you to embrace God's will and purpose for your life. It's a song that I recorded and wrote many years ago with my friend Cheryl Rogers, a song called God Has Another Plan. And He does, in fact, have a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan to give you a hope and a future. I hope and pray that it encourages your heart today. Thanks again for listening to the show, and I'll see you next time. Starting all over.